Well, I don't think I'll speak very long tonight. Reason being, those cupcakes sat in my kitchen all night long, and I'm tired of getting my hand slapped. No, I'm just kidding. They did sit in my kitchen all night long. But we're here tonight, and I want to give a charge to the graduates, and not just to the graduates, but to everyone here. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Mark chapter 14, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11 there in Mark chapter 14. But I want our three graduates, I know I was informed of one more this afternoon, so we'll be getting a gift to that one too. But we got three graduates here tonight, far as I know. So I want them to stand. Tabitha, we got Christine down here, Mary over there. They graduated this year, and they did a spectacular job in getting things done. So, you know, let's go ahead and give them a hand. We're going to be celebrating their achievements outside in just a little bit, but I just want to say a prayer of dedication over them and ask God's blessing over them as they start new chapters in their life. You know, they got to go out and work for a living now. They got all the hard work behind them, and they got to go out and work now. But let's pray for them, ask God's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for Tabitha, for Christine, for Mary, as they accomplished a great goal in their life. Two of them graduated from college, one graduated from high school, and I know it was major accomplishments for them, a lot of hard work put on their part, and you watching over them. And we just pray, dear Father, that you'd bless them as they go on to bigger and better things, that you would guide them with your Holy Spirit, that you would fill their lives, and that you would just provide for them for what they need to accomplish the things you would have them accomplish for you. May their hands be always uplifted in praise to you and always be extended to do your work. May their feet carry your message to people around them. May their ears always be attentive to your voice. May their mouths always speak of your praise and your love. And I just pray, dear Father, that you just bless them. Use them in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and after a while you get a chance to go outside and look at some incriminating pictures that Beth put up there. And so, but we're so thrilled, we're so proud of our graduates this year and for what they have done. In this story, the book of Mark, we're going to talk about a sacrifice of extravagant love tonight. And in Mark chapter 14 and verse 1, starting at verse 1, we'll read down through verse 11. It says this, "And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not one on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this a waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus says, let her alone. Why trouble her? She has wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will may do them good, but me you may not have always. She has done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole earth, world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for her a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. We look at this passage here and this woman, and it was Mary. Married a sister of Martha and Lazarus. Jesus was in their house. Jesus was there with them. And she comes and she breaks this alabaster box full of this fragrant oil, this fragrant ointment, and she puts it on Jesus's head. And when she does that, people begin around her, begin to murmur, and says, and the other gospels refer to as Judas being the main one that gripes and complains here. It's that they begin to gripe and complain. It says, why couldn't this be sold for so much money, and that money be given to the poor? And Jesus simply tells her, leave her alone. She is doing a great work. And the other ones couldn't understand it, but Jesus goes on to say, said, you'll always have the poor and you always have a chance to provide for them. But me, you're not always going to have. Because Jesus knew he was fixing to die. Jesus knew that he was fixing to be put on a cross. And soon he was going to go and he is going to ascend into heaven. But he says this one very important thought. He says that in verse 9. He says, wherever this gospel will be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her. And this one extravagant act of love is still being talked about today. Over 2,000 years later, this extravagant act of love is still being talked about, just like Jesus said. And you look at what Mary did here, and I want to talk to you, I want to encourage you as graduates today, to be a person of extravagant love, and not just any kind of love, but the kind of love that Jesus tells us to have. Someone once asked Jesus, says, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Then he went on, he says, and the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes we get the wrong concept of love, especially in this generation, especially in this world today. The kind of love that Jesus was talking about is a self-sacrificing type of love. A love where you don't expect anything in return. A love that you just give freely to those around you. You see somebody in need? You help them out. You love them, expecting nothing in return. You see somebody in trouble, you help them without thinking twice. What's it going to cost me? What kind of reputation is it going to bring upon me if I help this person out? What are other people going to think? You just do it because of love. First thing I want you to notice here is that extravagant acts of love will be public. When Mary anointed the head of Jesus, everybody took notice of her extravagant act of love. When you do extravagant acts of love, people are going to take notice. People are going to wonder what's up to you, because this world is so filled with hate and bitterness and selfishness and greed. In this day and age, when somebody does an act of love, I can guarantee you somebody's going to take notice of it. And people are going to take notice of extravagant acts of love. And people are going to wonder, well, what's going on here? Why is, you know, this person loving me? Or why is that person loving that person? Why is that person helping that person along? Why is that person doing this? People are going to take notice. People took notice of what Mary was doing. And let me tell you something. Spikenard is a very, very perfumey, smelly ointment. I mean, you could break a bottle about as big as my finger in this auditorium of it, and I guarantee you it would overwhelm us in just a couple of minutes. I mean, it is that strong. It is that powerful. And she had an alabaster box of that stuff. So you can imagine that whole room filled with that perfume. I mean, if they didn't notice what she was doing at first, pretty soon their noses let them know what she was doing. And let me tell you something. When you do extravagant acts of love, people are going to take notice. And when people take notice, they're going to wonder what's going on. Extravagant acts of love could be just bringing soup or dinner to a sick neighbor. Extravagant acts of love could be something more than helping somebody with their grocery bill. Extravagant acts of love could be just putting your arm around somebody when they're hurting, when they're lonely, praying with them, just helping them along their life's way, sitting down, just sometimes just listening, just letting somebody just pour it all out on you. I mean, just, you know, sometimes Beth comes home from work and I'm her listening post. And that's okay. She needs somebody to vent away. When she comes in, I say, vent away. She does. She's in the nursery tonight, so I can talk about her. but yeah, she does. But that's okay. Why? Because I love her. And I want her to do that with me. Sometimes I don't know what advice to give her, but I'm just her venting post. I'm her listening post. And she does it. But sometimes, you know, those acts of love. You know, the disciples demeaned, the people there demeaned this woman. But not only did they demean her, but they demeaned Jesus also. Let me tell you something. When people demean you for acts of love or acts of kindness, they're not just demeaning you. They're not just making fun of you. They're making fun of Jesus too. And don't worry, one of these days Jesus will take care of them if they continue on. But you know what? I notice that somewhere down along the way, that act of love that you did is going to stick in their minds. And one of these days, they're going to need a friend. And guess who they're going to come to? Because they watched you with an act of love. You know, some are willing to be poor in their possessions in order to be rich in a devotion to Jesus Christ. You know, some people want to be poor. That's okay. I've known some people that would rather live in a shack serving Jesus wholeheartedly than live in a mansion and have all the money in the world. I've known some people like that, and they're happy as a lark because they're serving Jesus. They're doing what God wants them to do. And the sad part about it is that the world, and sadly many in the church, will never have a problem with moderate, measured devotion to Christ. In other words, they like to stay in their comfort zone. They don't like to get out of their comfort zone. They're happy where they're at. Sometimes extravagant acts of love cause us to get out of our comfort zone, to go the extra mile, to go the extra way to help somebody out. Sometimes we don't like to do that. Sometimes we don't like to help another person out because maybe their skin's a different color. Maybe they are a different nationality. Maybe they don't dress the best. Maybe they got a certain odor about them. or whatever it is. But sometimes we got to get out of our comfort zone. And go to those types of people, because you know what? They need the gospel just as much as anybody else needs the gospel. That's why we have a women's life house. That's why we have a meal ministry. You know, that's why we do the things we do here at New Life Fellowship. Because of those, the love that we have for people, all walks of life. It doesn't make any difference. Race, color of skin, how they dress, you know, how they smell. Jim Cimbala, I heard him at a conference a few years ago. Jim Cimbala is a pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle there in New York City. Wonderful speaker. If you ever get a chance to hear him, please do. He's a wonderful speaker. He's written several books. In fact, I'm reading one. It's on my desk now that he wrote. But he told this story. He says, when we first moved into that big building there, where Brooklyn Tabernacle is. Now, when he first moved, he says, there was this guy that always stood on the front steps of the church every Sunday morning. He sat there. And he said he was a homeless guy. He says, we'd walk by him. He said he smelt of vomit. He smelt of urine. He said he just dirty, grungy guy. And he said some people had dropped some money in his hand. He said he knew to sit there because churchgoers were going, you know, buying into the church. So he knew some of them would drop some money in the hat for it. He said some did. But he said, I remember one Sunday morning, said we was right started our song service. He said, I watched that guy. He came in the back door. He came in the back of the church. And I thought, oh, Lord, I pity the guy or person he's going to sit next to. But he said that guy came in, sat in the back pew. He said, I went up and preached my sermon. And he said, lo and behold, during the invitation time, I was standing up front. So I looked up, and here come that guy down the aisle. And Jim Cimbala said, I was thinking, oh, Lord, I got to talk to this guy now. I got to shake his hand. I got to see what he's coming. And said, the guy came down with tears in his eyes. He said, I want to ask Jesus in my heart. I need to get saved. And he said, Jim Cimbala said, the only thing I could do is just put my arms around him and hold him. But he said that foul, stenching smell that he had, he said, all of a sudden turned into a sweet perfume, because that guy had a new life. Amen. And a changed life. And he said, and I hired that guy to be the janitor at the church. And he said, he worked faithfully for me. Now, he said, he's been a janitor. He told us then, he said, this was about 3 or 4 years ago when Beth and I heard him. Said, he's still working as my janitor. I forgot how many years he said, but he said he's faithful there every Sunday. But he says, all because we reached out to him. But you know, sometimes Christians today and church members today, they will have little or no problem with a comfortable and convenient Christianity. We don't like to get out of our comfort zone, but sometimes if we want to do acts of extravagant love, we got to get out of our comfort zone. You know, you heard me talk about Beth and I, you know, taking kids in and kids from our former ministries and stuff. And believe me, we had to deal with some headaches, to say the least, with some of those kids. Some of those kids that come in dirty, probably hadn't taken a bath in 2 or 3 days. Sometimes they'd come over our house, and we'd give them a bath. We'd clean them up. But more importantly, we'd love them when nobody else would love them. We'd care for them when nobody else would care for them. We went one Sunday evening, we had a new girl come, and she was invited by one of the other girls. And I was in the process of talking to her. We were getting ready we was divvying up to see who's going to take who home. And I was talking to her, and I asked her, I said, "I'm so glad you came tonight." I said, "I hope you enjoyed it." And she said, "I really did." Said my friend told me that this was the only place where she really felt loved. And she said, "I believe her because I've seen that love." See, sometimes we got to go out of our comfort zone to show acts of love. And graduates, when you go on through life, don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone to show your love to other people. Yeah, sometimes we're afraid of that. We're afraid of getting broken. We're afraid of getting our hearts broken. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. But don't be afraid of getting out of your comfort zone. Secondly, extravagant acts of love would often be criticized. They criticize Jesus. They criticize it. And thirdly, extravagant acts of love will be remembered. Look what Jesus told her here. He says, this is going to be a memorial for her. Wherever this gospel is preached at, it's going to be a memorial for her. When you do extravagant acts of love, people are going to remember it. They're not going to forget. When you reach out and love somebody, they're going to remember it. Down the road, they're going to remember it. There's a verse in the Bible. I always had a hard time trying to figure this verse out when I was younger. When I was a teenager, I first ran across this verse. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. And it simply says this, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." And I scratched my head up with that verse and trying to figure out, okay, what does he mean here? What does Solomon mean by casting? I can go out and I can cast. I used to go fishing with my grandfather. And I'd sit there on the riverbank or in the boat, and I'm sitting there thinking, looking down at the water. I put bread on the water. It's either going to dissolve or the fish are going to come up and eat it. How are you going to find your bread again after many days if you put your bread in the water? And I couldn't, that was the toughest verse I ever had to try and figure out. But I started looking at that verse through the eyes of love. And I come to the realization that when I cast my love upon the waters, it's going to return to me. I'm going to find it again after many days. And I found that so true of when you share God's love with somebody else and you cast your own love out there, it's going to come back to me. I think of so many people that Beth and I have loved through the years, some of the kids that we've loved through the years, and believe me, some of them were very difficult to love, almost impossible to love, but we still loved them. And we still go sometimes in Walmart, and somebody will come up behind us and bear hug us and say, "Pastor Randy, Miss Beth, I love you. Thank you." Thank you for loving us. Then you have a special kid that comes along that you love, that you took in from time to time, you loved, you cared for. There are times when she wanted to give up and quit, but we kept loving her. And she gave that love back to us by graduating. hanging in there, sticking with it, graduating. Cast your love upon the waters, because it'll come back to you. You'll find it again. Don't be afraid to put your heart out there. Don't be afraid to put your love out there. Don't be afraid to love others. Yeah, it may be scary, but the Bible says that in 1 John that perfect love casts out all fear. When you have God's love in you, you won't be afraid to love others. You won't be afraid to care for others. You won't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone with others, because perfect love casts out fear. You won't be afraid to take that next step. You won't be afraid to take that next challenge. And graduates, I want to leave this with you. When you go through life, and some of you may get all kinds of rewards, and you may get all kind of abbreviations behind your name, and there's nothing wrong with it, and I applaud you if you're able to accomplish that. But along those ways of getting those rewards and getting those accomplishments, don't forget to love those around you. Don't forget to love those in need. Don't forget to reach out in hearts and lives and love them. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, I just want to read this one passage, and then I'm close. My stomach's growling for cupcakes. But Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, it is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love is what's going to carry you through life. Love is what's going to be there when you're hurting. Love is going to be there when you don't know which direction to go in. God's love will be there. And when other people need that type of love, give it to them. Don't be afraid to reach out a hand of love here and there. And Paul sums it all up in verse 13 of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. It's love. Like I said, graduates, you can go through life, win all kind of awards, but you don't have love in your life, especially God's love in your life, it doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't amount to anything. Learn to love, and don't be afraid to take God's love with you everywhere you go. And don't be afraid to reach out and share that love with somebody along the way. Back in the 60s, there was a song that came out, And my pastor back then, when I was a young boy, petitioned the Southern Baptist Association, Southern Baptists, to put that in their hymn book. It was a secular song, but he said it should be in the hymn book. And some of you may remember it. It says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." That's what the love world needs. But not just any kind of love, but God's love. It's what the world needs. That's what people need to hear. So graduates, my challenge to you tonight is when you, as you go through life, love people. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And number two, love your enemy. I mean, you know, Jesus says that too. But love your neighbor as yourself. Share God's love with those around you. And reach out to them. Reach out to them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight and we honor our graduates, but may we all be reminded that we need to always reach out in love. That we always need to be sharing your love with other people. Let us not be afraid to share your love, but be willing sometimes even to get out of our comfort zones, to go the extra mile if called upon to do so, to go out of our way to love other people and share the gospel with them. Because you said in your word, love covers a multitude of sins. And when people come to experience your love and come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life, then that word is true. Because they have a new life of love in you. And may we realize that we have a wonderful Savior that loves us more than we can ever imagine. And the way that we can repay that love is to love those around us. May we do so. May we be committed to that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.